محمد رسول الله والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود صدق الله العظيم. Most respected elders, friends and listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala created two groups of people. One are the anbiya, the prophets of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala made the prophets ma'soom, free from sin. They did not commit kufr at any time. They did not commit shirk at any time. They did not commit major sins. They did not commit minor sins. And they did not commit any crime against Allah tabarak wa ta'ala before prophethood or after prophethood. They were completely pure. That is how Allah tabarak wa ta'ala made them. And the other group of people are the general laymen, the general creation of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Among them, the highest stage is the stages of the Sahaba, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Besides the Anbiya, everyone, there is a possibility that they may commit mistakes, they may err. The companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are not ma'asoom. That is our aqidah, the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. However, because of their training under Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their supervision under Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the shade and shadow of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being on them, they reached such a level of spirituality and Allah consciousness that they were mahfooz from sins. They were protected from sins. Not that they could not sin, they could. And they probably did, but if they did, they immediately repaired their relationship with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala with such sincerity that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala granted them the highest stages. These are the companions and the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala describes them in beautiful words in the Quran Kareem. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is indeed the Rasul of Allah. Have no doubt about that. He is sent by Allah. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ Those people that were with the Rasul of Allah, the Sahaba, great illustrious Sahaba of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of the qualities are أَشِدَّاءُ وَالْرُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ They were very soft with each other. When it coming to dealing with the Muslimin, with people with Iman, they were considerate, they were loving, they were caring, they were compassionate. They always won over the hearts of the next person. أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ But when he dealing to a non-Muslims, when it came to issues of kufr and shirk, it because of their sensitivity to Tawheed and oneness of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, they did not compromise on kufr and shirk. They were harsh on that. And very outstanding quality in the Sahaba. And that is something that should also reflect in our lives. And that is what month of Ramadan is for. Tarahum rukka'an sujjada. You would see the Sahaba. They were also fathers. The Sahabiyas were also mothers. They were also business people. They also had to earn the income. They had worldly responsibilities. They also had health-related issues. They also had social-related issues. They had economic-related issues. But with all that, they understood the purpose and objective of life. And they took out their time. They gave priority to tarahum rukka'an sujjada. You would see them all the time. They're making ruku and they're making sajda. Making ibadat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. That was the priority of the life. Everything else was subsidiary. And that too, يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِدْوَانًا They were so tied up. What a close bond they had with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. They had so much of ikhlas and sincerity, that love for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, they were always seeking the grace and the mercy of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And when we look at the mubarak faces of the sahaba, simahum fi wujuhihim min athari sujood, because of them making sajda, because of the noor that was on their face, you would actually make out the honesty and the truthfulness in their faces. In one hadith, Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la tamussu an-naru ra'ani. Aw kama qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the fire of hell will never touch that person who had seen me. Referring to the sahaba, who seen me in the state of iman, who died in the state of iman. From this we deduce, every sahabi, every companion of Rabbi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a jannati. Directly to Jannat and Paradise. In one hadith, Anas radiallahu ta'ala said, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ashabi kal milh, la yasru ta'am illa bil milh. My companions, they are like the salt in the food. If a food is being cooked, the best of foods, but there's no salt, the best of food will not taste good. لا يسلو الطعام إلا بالميل. The food will not be good until the salt is not put to it. The salt of the ummah, the beauty of the ummah, the taste of the ummah, it lies in the sahaba, the companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One very great, illustrious, outstanding sahabi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu. There were two tribes in Medina to Munawwara, the tribe of Aws, the tribe of Khazraj. Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu was from the tribe of Khazraj. His name was Uwaymir. And some muhaddithin record his name as Amir. Darda was the name of his daughter. And therefore he was called Abu Darda, the father of Darda. Darda was the name of the daughter of Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu had a very close friend, Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala anhu. They were very, very close. In the time of Jahiliyyah, they were close. And from them too, Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala anhu accepted Islam first. Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not accept Islam in the beginning stages, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Madinatul Munawwara. Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a very prominent businessman in Madinatul Munawwara, from the tribe of Khazraj. He heard about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He knew his friend Abdullah ibn Rawaha accepted Islam. And Abdullah ibn Rawaha kept on inviting Abu Darda to Islam. But Abu Darda, he was obsessed with idols and the best form of idols. The battle of Badr took place. When the Sahaba were returning from Badr, and the prisoners that were taken as captives in Badr, they were in the front of the Sahaba, marching them to Madinatul Munawwara. It was in that particular area Abu Darda had a shop. So, after closing his shop, or while going to shop, on the way, he saw the Sahaba, after Battle of Badr, they're returning to Madinah to Munawwara. He didn't care, he didn't bother. It never even occurred to him that this was something important. He thought that these are some internal fights. He's a businessman, he's earning his money, he's carrying on with his own life. But he came across somebody that he knew there from the tribe of Khazraj. He got talking to that person, and because Abdullah ibn Rawaha was his very close friend. So he just asked that Khazraji person, Kaifa Abdullah ibn Rawaha? How is Abdullah ibn Rawaha? He said, Abdullah ibn Rawaha, he showed such bravery in the battle of Badr, and وَغَدَى وَرَجَعَ سَالِمًا غَانِمًا. He have returned to Madinah to Munawwara safe and sound, with lots of booty. It was after the battle of Badr. One day, Abdullah ibn Rawaha, it occurred to him that I need to invite my friend Abu Darda to Islam. I made effort before, I need to make another constructive effort. Abu Darda was gone to his business. Abdullah ibn Rawaha came home and he saw the wife of Abu Darda. He greeted her, "Assalamu alaikum ya Amatullah. O slave of Allah, salam, peace be upon you." She replied, "Wa alaikum salam ya akha Abu Darda." She replied, "Salam, O brother of Abu Darda." She referred to Abdullah ibn Rawaha as a brother because of the close bond. "Aina akhi? Where's my brother?" "Zahaba ila matjarihi." He's gone to his marketplace to a business. Abdullah ibn Rawaha then told the wife of Abu Darda, "Ata'zanin an adkhul? Do you permit me to enter your house?" So she told, "Ala sam'i wa raha. You may enter. You're the brother of Abdullah ibn Rawaha." Abdullah ibn Rawaha had a motive. He had an objective. He knew in the house of Abu Darda, there was an idol that he adored. He goes inside the house and he breaks that idol into pieces. And while breaking that idol, he's saying that innama adallahi batilun. Everything beside Allah is batil. Everything beside Allah is invalid. You cannot worship anyone but Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Abu Darda's wife didn't know what was happening inside. She was outside the house. When Abdullah ibn Rawaha came out, she went in the house and she saw what had happened with the idol. She was shocked. And she told Abdullah ibn Rawaha that you have brought destruction and disaster to us. What have you done? Abdullah ibn Rawaha just went away. Abu Darda comes home. His wife, Umm Darda, tells to him, "See what your brother Abdullah ibn Rawaha have done. He has broken your idols." He goes there, he looked at the idol. He was raging, full of anger. But Allah gave him tawfiq. He cooled down. And then a thought occurred to his mind. "In kana fi hadha sanam khair, ladafa an nafsi." If there were any good in this idol, if this idol was able to give benefit to someone or cause harm to someone, this idol would have been able to at least defend its own self. Can't defend itself. Somebody is breaking it. I'm regarding it to the Lord. When that Lord can't defend itself, where is it going to defend me? Islam came into his heart. He goes to Abdullah ibn Rawaha and he thanks Abdullah ibn Rawaha for what he has done. Abdullah ibn Rawaha takes him to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Abu Darda then accepts Islam, read the Shahada in the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, after accepting Islam, he was a prominent businessman, but he focused on two things. First, seek knowledge. Ilm, that was his priority. And second, to practice on the ilm that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has given to him. He had a very successful business, so he himself says that falamma aslamtu, when I accepted Islam, aradtu an ajma'a bayna tijarati wal ibadah. After accepting Islam, I wanted to do both of it. I wanted to, as they say, juggle your way between two things, between doing my business and making ibadat. But you know, when you have to focus on one, you're going to falter on the other. When you're going to falter, you're going to focus on the other, you're going to falter on the one. So he says that falam yastaqim li ma aradtu. I was never able to do that. He was so engaged in ilm, seeking knowledge and making ibadat, that he was unable to pay a practice on his business. He abandoned his business. He left it out. And he reached such a level of ruhaniyat and spirituality in ibadat that he himself says that if I have to have a business right next to the masjid, where I would not even miss a single salah. If I have a business, I have a shop right next to the masjid, and every salah time I can come to the masjid, and I know that I'll be able to make 300 dirhams profit daily, then too, I would not want to go back into business. It's not because that the business itself is bad, because I want to be a representative of this ayat. رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala referred to certain people that tijarat and trade never make them ghafil, unmindful of the zikr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and establishing salah. See, for that reason, I decided not to go into the business again. Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to him, Uwaymir hakimu hazihi al-umma. Uwaymir is the hakim, the most wisest person of this ummah. Masruq, rahmatullah alayhi, the student of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, Shafahtu ashab Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fawajadtu ilmahum intaha ila sitta. I met many companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he was a student of deen, he was a scholar, and a student of deen will always look for ulama where they can benefit from. Said, I found that the knowledge has ended on six people, and it has been surrendered within six people. And among the six people, he says that it was Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala. Very great, very deep in knowledge, because he also sacrificed his time in seeking ilm. It also mentioned that Yazid ibn Muawiyah, Hadha Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala's son, Yazid, because Abu Darda was also in Sham, in Syria, in Damascus, so he made a comment about Abu Darda, that inna Abu Darda min al fuqaha wal ulama yashfuna min da. Abu Darda was among those ulama, among those fuqaha, who always cure himself from sicknesses. We are speaking about spiritual sicknesses. Ulama, people of knowledge, we also have our weaknesses, shortcomings, spiritual maladies, but the challenge is that to remove those sicknesses. Not to live with the sicknesses, and don't worry about only other people's spiritual reformation. We should also worry about our own spiritual reformation. What I'm talking about, am I bluffing people where I've got the old sickness in myself? I also need to cure my own self. And I also need to spiritually cleanse myself from the sicknesses that I'm telling the people as well. Allah grant us tawfiq and hidayat, ikhlas and sincerity. So Abu Darda, he was among those people that who used to cure himself from those kind of sicknesses. The amazing part is, when Salman radiallahu ta'ala came to Madinatul Munawwara, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made him stay with Abu Darda. He was, like the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam maintained that ukhuwa, brotherhood between the Muhajirin and Ansar. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam joined Salman radiallahu ta'ala with Abu Darda. Abu Darda was a giant in knowledge, Salman was also a giant in knowledge. Muad radiallahu ta'ala before passing away, somebody asked him, where should we seek knowledge from? So among the four, six people he named Abu Darda and Salman. One day, Salman radiallahu ta'ala went to the house of Abu Darda. He went home, they were staying together. So he saw Umme Darda, the wife of Abu Darda. This was before the laws of hijab and parda. She was shabbily dressed. So Salman radiallahu ta'ala told to her, why are you not dressed properly for your husband? So she told, my husband really doesn't need me to be dressed like that. When the time came to eat, Salman radiallahu ta'ala is there on the dastarkhan with Abu Darda. Salman told to, Abu Darda told to Salman, you eat, I'm fasting. So Salman radiallahu ta'ala told to Abu Darda, this was out of the month of Ramadan, and because of the consecutive fasting of Abu Darda, Salman told him, I'm not going to eat until you don't eat. Try to correct him, bring some balance in his life. At night, Abu Darda, he was waking up to make the ibadat of Allah. Hardly sleeping at night, exerting himself in ibadat. Salman told him, sleep away. You wake up again, sleep away. And then, for some portion of the night, ibadat then was made. The matter went to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the experience between Abu Darda and Salman. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told, Sadaqa Salman. What Salman have done with you is correct. Inna li zawrika alayka haqqan wa inna li zawjika alayka haqqan wa inna li jasadika alayka haqqan. Everything of you have a haqq upon you. Your wife have a haqq upon you. Your family, your visitor had a haqq upon you. Your body also had a haqq upon you. Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, or Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, after the demise of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab, because of his in-depth knowledge, Umar radiallahu ta'ala wanted to appoint him as a judge in Sham, in Syria. Abu Darda refused. But he told Umar radiallahu ta'ala that, can I present an alternative? Instead of sending me as a judge, why don't you send me as a muallim, as a teacher? I'll go there to teach the people. Abu Darda then went to Sham, specifically to Damascus. He stayed in Damascus to teach and educate the people. And he brought about a change. He brought about a revolution in the Muslims of Damascus. On one occasion, he was very worried about the condition of the people. And because he was a hakim, wise person, he adopted an appropriate strategy to reform the people. He gathered the people in a masjid, and he told the people, he addressed the people, obviously with that ikhlas, with the sincerity, with that darab, the feeling of reformation that was in his heart. He told to the people that, ulama'ukum tadhabun, your people, ulama, are going away. Many other learned people came here, they are going away. That means they are passing away. Why don't you people teach, educate your people selves on the laws of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? Then he told to them, one of the things he told to them, Allah created you to worship Him, and Allah undertook the responsibility of risk and sustenance for you. What you're supposed to be doing, you're not doing the ibadat of Allah. And what you're not supposed to be doing, exerting yourself in earning the income, that is what you are doing. And then he told the people, the area that you people are living in is where the nation of Ad and Samud lived. And he asked them one question. May yashtari tarakata Ad bidirhamain? Who is going to purchase the taraka, the remains, the estate, if you would call it, of the nation of Ad even for 2 dirhams? Nobody would do it. The way he addressed the people of Damascus, the masjid burst out crying. Then became the turning point of the people of Damascus, and they started changing their lives and becoming more conscious of deen. On one occasion he was walking, because he was a hakim, many wise things came out from his life. He saw a group of people hitting one youngster. He stopped there, he asked them, why are you hitting this youngster? So they enumerated some of his sins. He asked him a question. If this youngster has to be inside a well, what would you do? أَفَلَا تَسْتَخْرِجُ? Are you going to not take him out from the well? They said, yes. They said, then don't hit him like this. How you're conducting yourself is that you're putting him in a well. You're going to make him drown in sins. The way of reforming him is that فَعِزُوهُ. Show him love and compassion, give him advice and nasihat. So people told to Abu Darda, أَفَلَا تُبْغِزُهُ? You don't dislike what he's doing? He said, أُبْغِزُ فَعْلَهُ. I dislike the act that he's doing, but I don't dislike him as a person. And فَإِذَا تَابَ يَكُونُ أَخِي. And the moment he makes tawbah, now he's my beloved brother. That is Abu Darda, the same youngster. He heard this entire discussion. After some time, he comes to Abu Darda, and he tells to Abu Darda, he says that, أُوْسِنِي يَا صَاحِبِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. O companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, give me some advice, give me some nasihat. Look at a beautiful advice Abu Darda gives his youngster. Ya bunay, uskurillah. O my son, make the zikr of Allah. Remember Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Fi sarra, yaskuruka fi darra. Remember Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in your good times, in favorable times. Allah will remember you during your challenging times. And then he says to him, "Kun aliman, O mutaalliman, O mustami'an, wala takun arrabih." Be three things. If you can become an alim, become an alim. Understand the Quran, understand the Hadith. You will enjoy your Islam, and the quality of life will be different. And if you're not an alim, at least become a mutaallim. Learn something. Learn something of deen. And third, mustami'an, listen attentively. Kul mustami'an, don't become the fourth. That means adopt one of these three positions in your life. And then he told to him, liyakun al masjid baytuk. Oh youngster, let the masjid be your house. Outside there are too many attractions. Especially your friend, your company, associates, too many attractions. You can get lost outside. You want to save yourself, you want to enjoy a quality life, let the masjid be your house. And then he mentions to him, Al Masajid Baytu Kulli Taqi. the masjid, it is the house of every person of taqwa. And then he mentions three things Allah Tabaraka will bless a person when he adopts the masjid at a house, like in the state of i'tikaf, the night now, the masjid at a house, three things Allah present to a person. Rawha, raha, and fawz bis-sirat. Rawha means Allah will give you that comfort, peace. How much peace we enjoy here in i'tikaf and what ibadat we can do and zikr and tilawat, we never get it out of i'tikaf. Contentment. And the third, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala will make it easy for you to pass the pul sirat. Every one of us, wa in minkum illa wariduha. Every one of us is going to pass the pul sirat, the bridge that goes over Jahannam. What a trying time that is. What if we have to capsize there? Allah save us, Allah protect us. But adopting the masjid at your house, you make the ibadat of Allah. You come in the protection of Allah. When the time comes for you to pass the pul sirat, then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will make us fly over on the other side without us tripping and falling over there. Allah make us among those people. And then, before concluding, Abu Darda, when he was in Sham, after the demise of Muawiyah, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it was the son of Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, Yazid, he became the governor. Yazid, he proposed for his son to get married to the daughter of Abu Darda. So Abu Darda refused. And he got his daughter married to a normal person. Now Yazid was a governor. Rich, wealthy person. A person of status. So somebody asked Abu Darda, you actually had a proposal for Yazid's son for your daughter. How you turned it down? Who would turn such a proposal down? And you would have been, it was a good fortune that you got that kind of a proposal for your daughter. He said that I considered few things. If my daughter would have went in that house there, in the house of Yazid, then there would be only royal slaves serving her. Second, she would be looking at the wealth and the richness and the beautiful houses and palaces that she would be going in. And I thought, what's going to happen to the akhirat of my daughter? I thought, what's going to happen to the akhirat of my daughter? And because of that, I decided to get her married to someone where her akhirat could be considered. This was the thinking of a sahabi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Lastly, one sahabi, Hazrat Auf ibn Malik al-Ashja'i, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he saw a dream. In the dream he saw, there's an open field, beautiful field, never to be seen like that before. There's a beautiful house, and on the open field, there's some very healthy goat and sheep, never to be seen like that before. Emerged from that house was Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf had passed away by then. And that was representing his Jannah and his paradise. So, when Auf ibn Malik Ashjai was looking surprised at that beautiful house, beautiful land, beautiful animals. So Abdul Rahman ibn Auf told to Auf ibn Malik al-Ashja'i, "Inna hadha atana bil Quran." This Allah Ta'ala has given us because of the Quran. But look on the other side. Look on the other side. You would see such palaces, you would see such land and such bounty of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Ma la ayn ra'at wa la udhunun samiyat wa la khatara ala qalbi bashar. No eye have seen, no ear have heard, and the thought of that never even crossed the heart of any person. Look at that. Look at those bounties. Auf ibn Malik Ashjai looked at that and he was surprised. Something that he never seen. Far superseding anything in beauty. Then he asked, "For who is this?" He said, "This is the palaces that Allah has given to Abu Darda." And then he mentioned why Allah gave him this. يَدْفَعُ عَنْهُ الدُّنْيَا بِالرَّاحَتَيْنِ وَالصَّدْرِ. Abu Darda was a person that kicked the world, that abandoned the world with his two palms and with his chest. Openly, bravely, he abandoned the world. That was the business that he was doing. He abandoned the business purely for the pleasure of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Respected elders and friends, I see many youngsters here. And what was the motivating factor? What changed Abu Darda? And what made him the great illustrious sahabi that he was? It was his friend. Be careful of your friends. Who you deal with, who you associate with. Your friend has an influence in your life. It was because of the friendship of Abu Darda that Abu Darda had a positive impact on, or Abdullah ibn Rawaha had a positive impact on Abu Darda. He changed him. It was a friendship that brought about a change in his life. Watch our friends. Especially in these times, you can be a person of good character, good conduct, coming from a good home. Your father, your mother have nurtured you. It's just for you to go outside and get caught in the wrong company. Nabi Kareem SAW mentioned, Al-mar'u ala deeni khaleeli. That a person, he's on the path of his friend. You feel bored at home. You don't like the way of your father. You don't like the way of your mother. You don't like the way of your teachers teaching you. And now, you just want to entertain yourself just to get caught up in the wrong company, and all the effort that was made on you will get lost. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, be careful, your friend. It's either he's selling musk, or is either he's working with steel and iron. If he's selling musk, he probably will sell it to you. Or either you'll smell the fragrance, or either he'll give it to you. But if your company is like a person that's working with steel and iron, then you get the smoke, either he'll burn your clothing. Watch your company. One anecdote before I conclude. One day, you know, nowadays, our children, our youth, they're very fond of their friends. To such an extent that the position of the friend is higher than the father and the mother and everyone else. Worship your friends. Adore them. They are of such position. So one day, one son came to the father. Father, I got such a friend that I would like you to meet him. He spoke about his friend in so many different ways. This is my friend. That is my friend. He's got this quality. He's got that quality. The father heard everything. The father told him, oh nice, I'd like to meet your friend. He said, oh very well, my father wants to meet my friend, what an honor that is for me in the eyes of my friend. The father told him, make the appointment tomorrow night 7 o'clock. So appointment was made, 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock came, the father told us, hold on, I just got some other engagement, this, that and the other. And there was a delay of 1 hour. 8 o'clock, they went and knocked at the friend's house. He told his friend, my father is coming to meet you. I told my father who you are. Knocked at the door. The friend came out raging. The appointment was 7 o'clock. Why you came 8 o'clock? 1 hour late. You got no shame. Don't you know etiquette? The father looked at the son. Is this your friend? Come. I'll take you to my friend's house. He waited for 12 o'clock at night. He went to one remote place, middle of the night with his son, tapped at the door. From outside they could hear the shuffling taking place in the house. And after a while, one old man opened the door. He had three things in his hand. He had a stick. He had a bag. And he had a pot. He met his friend. Immediately the father asked his friend, what is this that you're holding in your hand in the middle of the night? He said, no. When you tapped at the door and asked who you are, I recognize that you are my old friend. For a very long time we haven't met. And I thought to myself, in the middle of the night you came, you probably are in some serious trouble. I thought, if somebody is trying to cause harm to you, I brought this walking stick to give it to you so that you could hit that person. And I thought, maybe if you are hungry, then there's a pot of food, I gave the pot of food to you, so you can probably eat this food. And I thought, maybe in some financial difficulties, bag of money, I have given it to you, you can fulfill your financial needs. The father looked at his son, see my son, see your friend. Brothers, watch who our friends are. Sometime it could be a great success, sometime it could be a disaster. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.